experience before joining APA?
I worked at American for 25 years.
We review the responses from the PBIS analysts on the other side of the street. And we do have a final call at the end of the month before TTS and TTOT open. Unfortunately, when they are misbids, there's not a whole lot we can do. The other thing we do find on occasion is there are some data input errors.
Welcome to another episode of 5x5. My name is Dan Kohler. I'm the APA Communications Editor. And our guests today are Captain Justin Smith, who is the Deputy Chair of the APA Scheduling Committee overseeing PBS, and a new member of the APA staff, Charlotte Davis, whose title is Scheduling Administrator. Charlotte, welcome to APA, and please tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience before joining APA.
Well, thank you for inviting me to join you guys today. I worked at American for 25 years, starting in the late 90s. And I have been everything from an aircraft router to a crew scheduler, crew tracker, pairing construction. My latest endeavor was PBS analyst for the pilot side. I've been doing that for the last 2.5 years, I think. And I joined the APA last week.
And what sort of stuff will you be doing on behalf of the pilots here on the APA side of the street?
I know I'm going to be working with Vicki and the scheduling committee. I know I'm going to be working with Justin on PBS and with Jordan on DOTC. I don't know what all else I'll be helping with, but I am eager to find out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure on the scheduling front, they will never lack for any work for you to do.
I don't doubt that.
All right. So PBS will open on April 8th for May bidding, and Justin is going to discuss some new enhancements to the process for this month.
Thanks, Dan. So we do have some new enhancements coming to PBS in April bidding for the May contractual month. As I'm sure many of you are aware, we have been announcing that 3 additional reserve-only layers, layers 8, 9, and 10, will now be available in the monthly bid. These are going to be activated the same as reserve layers are today. Pilots can use them, not use them. Their functionality remains identical to the other reserve layers in the ballot. The caveat with layers 8, 9, and 10, these are only available for reserve. They're not available for regular line bidding or in the standing bid at this time. This really permits more nuanced bidding, particularly for those who are bidding reserve as a backup. Now, a lot of you may ask, why don't we have layers 8, 9, and 10 as universal layers? Trust us, that for the PWG, particularly those of us at APA, we've been seeking for at least 5 additional universal layers, that's both regular line and reserve, for the last several years. Unfortunately, each extra layer doubles the run times. Presently, Charlotte 320, our largest bid status, currently runs about 18 to 24 hours for each run. Adding an additional layer for that bid status would take us 36 to 40 hours. The unfortunate problem is we either have to shorten the bidding window or we have to delay trip trading. Those are 2 things that we're not willing to concede at this time just to be able to get an additional layer. The other property that we have coming in is a void line holder. This will be the first property in the reserve ballot. It's checked the same as waivers. What this does is allows PBS to process all lower reserve layers first before considering any regular line layers. This is really ideal for senior pilots who are unfamiliar with bidding reserve, particularly if those senior pilots are bidding back to reserve with vacation that may not comply with the JCB required cadence. This avoid line holder property can still be used by junior pilots, and it will permit them to bid backup regular line bidding as well. We really want pilots to read the bulletin and talk to the help desk before utilizing this bid strategy. This is really particularly important in bid statuses such as Charlotte and DCA 320 FOs, most Dallas wide bodies, and the same with Phoenix 320. In these bid statuses, we are seeing junior pilots forced into being line holders the last several months. So those are the 2 new properties that we have coming down the pike. They will be available for the May contractual month, and we look forward to seeing pilot feedback on these properties.
Thanks, Justin. Now we're going to turn to Charlotte to hear more about coverage dates and system constraints.
Thanks, Dan. So coverage dates, I don't know if everybody knows, they're not a company setting. That's not something that the PBS admin go in there and pick and choose. They're really based on bidding behavior and how everybody is bidding in a particular month. So they're driven by contractual open time limits and daily reserve targets. So let's say we have a bid status that's wanting 10 reserves. That's what we're planning for the month. And the daily reserve target is set at 5. And then you have, you know, some people like to bid on to reserve with vacation. So you have 3 that bid on. They've got vacation days. We also have an opportunity for them to bid VEX days on either side of their vacation, kind of an extension. And then you have 1 on CQT. So we needed 5. There are 10 reserves. 6 are already not available. We're starting the bid run -1, which really drives the seniority up as to where those line constraints or coverage dates start. So one of the other things that can drive coverage dates is cadence. You know, the planners do put in a work block size that is set by manpower for each bid status. And it's based on basically the length of the pairings in that bid status for the month. But when you start getting into cadence and whether somebody has waived a block of 4 or allowed a single duty-free period, all of those things affect who's going to be available for a random Saturday that you wanted off.
Okay, and then our final topic, Justin is going to tell us a little bit about the award challenge process. Actually, Justin and Charlotte are both going to talk to us about the award challenge process. Justin?
Sure. Well, first off, it's important for all pilots to understand that APA is a member of the PWG. We are an active participant. We actually do receive a copy of every award challenge that does come in. So when a pilot files an award challenge, all the members at APA that are part of the PWG receive a copy along with the company. We review each one to make sure that it's correct. We review the responses from the PBAS analyst on the other side of the street. And we do have a final call at the end of the month before TTS and TTOT open to review any discrepancies in either the response or some outstanding issues that we may have had to send to the vendor for clarification. By and large, the vast majority that we find are actually misbids. And that's unfortunate because we do understand that pilots really want to have the schedule they want for the next month. Unfortunately, when they are misbids, there's not a whole lot we can do. The other thing we do find on occasion is there are some data input errors. Sometime an sick clear date was inadvertently entered incorrectly, and we have to go through some of those processes. It's unfortunate, but we do try and resolve those within the context of the PBS MOU and the JCBA. Now, Charlotte, I wonder if you could share some of your experiences that you've had on the other side of the street and that experience that you can bring to APA to help our pilots through this award challenge process.
Sure. So there's 2 things that I think really are underutilized. One is allow shuffle. I can't tell you how many award challenges I have answered in the past couple years that could have been solved by allowing shuffle. And you can do it every layer. You don't have to do it every layer. You can do it at your last line holder layer before you bid reserve. And I think the common misconception is that allow shuffle is just going to kind of put all of the pairings in your pairing pool and shake it up and drop them out like a bingo, you know? And it really doesn't work that way. It is going to try and maintain as many L1, L2, L3 pairings as possible. Because it's trying to achieve the highest award satisfaction possible. So allow shuffle is not just willy-nilly, and it's a great tool to shuffle the pairings that are only in your pairing pools to see if you can solve within line constraints, your line constraints, company line constraints, coverage dates. Allow shuffle is going to take anything in your pairing pools and see if it can make that work. If that doesn't work, avoid reserve. If you do not want to sit reserve, please, please, please bid avoid reserve. It's going to do the same thing initially. It's going to shuffle all of the pairings from your pairing pools. What it's also going to do is kind of like an early LN. It's going to relax your line constraints, the system line constraints. It might add a few pairings from, you know, outside of your pairing pools, anything that it can grab to add to what you already held. If it can't find anything, it's going to throw it all out and you're going to get a bunch of weird pairings, but it's not going to start there. So allow shuffle and avoid reserve before your reserve layer, if you're wanting to be a line holder, can be your very best friends.
Thanks, Charlotte. As always, the PBS Help Desk is available to help pilots with bid review and award review. That international toll-free number is 888-294-0041. 888-294-0041. Charlotte, thank you for your time and welcome to APA. Justin, thank you for your time for joining us. And I hope that everybody has a successful bid process for the May contractual month.